Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on here in this crazy world? So welcome to the 520th edition of SDG. This is titled Crisis Update Number 33. And later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into another question that we all must ask ourselves. And that's whether we are a critical thinker or a dutiful drone of the New World Order. In other words, do you have a renewed mind or a mind conformed to the lies of this world? You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, for you to prove what is good and well-pleasing in the perfect will of God. So I hope you stay tuned to learn how we can eliminate all fear-based stinking thinking in this lost and fallen world. Literally, wipe it out of our minds so that we share in the mind of Christ, which the Bible tells us is the wisdom and power of God Almighty. Folks, the bottom line is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And folks, isn't that what it is? So keep listening for the forbidden news. The fake news will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But, folks, remember how it all got started. Do you remember? Remember what happened? Well, it all started with this lab-engineered, yes, it's now proven to be a lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. But as we do always, folks, let's review something from a past episode. Now, last week, folks, we continued our deep dive into mind control, mass psychosis, or menticide, as Dr. Mirlo called it, from his book, The Rape of the Mind. And a little later in the show, I'm going to give you reference materials for all of this so that you, too, can be awakened to the truth. Don't be a normie, folks. Don't have your mind conformed to this world, but rather have it renewed so that you can become a critical thinker. So let's listen to the last segment in the mass psychosis video, which I encourage you all to watch because the graphics are very good on it too. So right now, what I'd like to do for you is play this final clip in the mass psychosis series. And this is about a 9-minute clip, so buckle your seatbelts, but it's well worth listening to.
In history, have such effective means existed to manipulate a society into the psychosis of totalitarianism? Smartphones and social media, television and the internet, all in conjunction with algorithms that quickly censor the flow of unwanted information, allow those in power to easily assault the minds of the masses. What is more, the addictive nature of these technologies means that many people voluntarily subject themselves to the ruling elite's propaganda with a remarkable frequency. Modern technology, explains Mirlo, teaches man to take for granted the world he is looking at. He takes no time to retreat and reflect. Technology lures him on, dropping him into its wheels and movements. No rest, no meditation, no reflection, no conversation. The senses are continually overloaded with stimuli. Man doesn't learn to question his world anymore. The screen offers him answers, ready-made. But there is a further step the would-be totalitarian rulers can take to increase the chance of a totalitarian psychosis. And this is to isolate the victims and to disrupt normal social interactions. When alone and lacking normal interactions with friends, family, and co-workers, an individual becomes far more susceptible to delusions for several reasons. Firstly, they lose contact with the corrective force of the positive example, for not everyone is tricked by the machinations of the ruling elite, and the individuals who see through the propaganda can help free others from the menticidal assault. If, however, isolation is enforced, the power of these positive examples greatly diminishes. But another reason that isolation increases the efficacy of menticide is because, like many other species, human beings are more easily conditioned into new patterns of thought and behavior when isolated. Or as Mirlu explains with regards to the physiologist Ivan Pavlov's work on behavioral conditioning, Pavlov made another significant discovery. The conditioned reflex could be developed most easily in a quiet laboratory with a minimum of disturbing stimuli. Every trainer of animals knows this from his own experience. Isolation and the patient repetition of stimuli are required to tame wild animals. The totalitarians have followed this rule. They know that they can condition their political victims most quickly if they are kept in isolation. Alone, confused, and battered by waves of terror, a population under an attack of menticide descends into a hopeless and vulnerable state. The never-ending stream of propaganda turns minds once capable of rational thought into playhouses of irrational forces. And with chaos swirling around them and within them, the masses crave a return to a more ordered world. The would-be totalitarians can now take the decisive step. They can offer a way out and a return to order in a world that seems to be moving rapidly in the opposite direction. But all this comes at a price. The masses must give up their freedom and cede control of all aspects of life to the ruling elite. They must relinquish their capacity to be self-reliant individuals who are responsible for their own lives and become submissive and obedient subjects. The masses, in other words, must descend into the delusions of the totalitarian psychosis. The totalitarian systems of the 20th century represent a kind of collective psychosis. Whether gradually or suddenly, reason and common human decency are no longer possible in such a system. There is only a pervasive atmosphere of terror and a projection of the enemy, imagined to be in our midst. Thus society turns on itself, urged on by the ruling authorities. But the order of a totalitarian world is a pathological order. By enforcing a strict conformity and requiring a blind obedience from the citizenry, totalitarianism rids the world of the spontaneity that produces many of life's joys and the creativity that drives society forward. The total control of this form of rule, no matter under what name it is branded, be it rule by scientists and doctors, politicians and bureaucrats, or a dictator, breeds stagnation, destruction, and death on a mass scale. And so perhaps the most important question facing the world is how can totalitarianism be prevented? And if a society has been induced into the early stages of this mass psychosis, can the effects be reversed? While one can never be sure of the prognosis of a collective madness, there are steps that can be taken to help effectuate a cure. This task, however, necessitates many different approaches from many different people. For just as the menticidal attack is multi-pronged, so too must be the counterattack. According to Carl Jung, for those of us who wish to help return sanity to an insane world, the first step is to bring order to our own minds and to live in a way that provides inspiration for others to follow. It is not for nothing that our age cries out for the Redeemer personality, for the one who can emancipate himself from the grip of the collective psychosis and save at least his own soul, who lights a beacon of hope for others, proclaiming that here is at least one man who has succeeded in extricating himself from the fatal identity with the group psyche. But assuming one is living in a manner free of the grip of the psychosis, there are further steps that can be taken. Information that counters the propaganda should be spread as far and as wide as possible, for the truth is more powerful than the fiction and falsities peddled by the would-be totalitarian rulers, and so their success is in part contingent on their ability to censor the free flow of information. Another tactic is to use humor and ridicule to delegitimize the ruling elite, or as Mirlu explains, we must learn to treat the demagogue and aspirant dictators in our midst with the weapon of ridicule. The demagogue himself is almost incapable of humor of any sort, and if we treat him with humor, he will begin to collapse. A tactic recommended by Vaclav Havel, a political dissident under Soviet communist rule, who later became president of Czechoslovakia, is the construction of what are called parallel structures. A parallel structure is any form of organization, business, institution, technology, or creative pursuit that exists physically within a totalitarian society, yet morally outside of it. In communist Czechoslovakia, Havel noted that these parallel structures were more effective at combating totalitarianism than political action. Furthermore, when enough parallel structures are created, a second culture, or parallel society, spontaneously forms and functions as an enclave of freedom and sanity within a totalitarian world. Or as Havel explains in his book, The Power of the Powerless. What else are parallel structures than an area where a different life can be lived? A life that is in harmony with its own aims, and which in turn structures itself in harmony with those aims. What else are those initial attempts at social self-organization than the efforts of a certain part of society to rid itself of the self-sustaining aspects of totalitarianism, and thus, to extricate itself radically from its involvement in the totalitarian system? But above all else, what is required to prevent a full descent into the madness of totalitarianism is action by as many people as possible. For just as the ruling elite do not sit around passively, but instead take deliberate steps to increase their power, so too, an active and concerted effort must be made to move the world back in the direction of freedom. This can be an immense challenge in a world falling prey to the delusions of totalitarianism, but as Thomas Paine noted, tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph.
Well, there you have it, folks. So they give the normie these cool toys, smartphones, iPads, smart TVs with endless mind-numbing content. I mean, you could literally binge-watch from now till Jesus returns and never get through the content listing of just one of the streaming services. And then what do? They lock you down. And then the brainwashing begins. And don't forget the censorship and the ridicule of anybody outside of the normie mindset. So let's turn it around on them. Let's start to ridicule them. The emperor has no clothes, folks. They're the ones printing the money with no basis in any kind of economy. They're the ones that think they're the masters of the universe, not me, not you. So, folks, don't succumb to their mind-numbing drivel. That's my point. Then a little later in last week's show, what did I do? I shared with you my encounter from 30 years ago while I was driving to work one day or coming home. You know, I listened to the old Hour of the Time shows with Bill Cooper, and I popped that one cassette in, and what's he have on? He has the Stephen Jacobson work titled Mind Control in America. Now, Stephen Jacobson was a graduate of the Boston University School of Communications, and he worked in the film industry for over a decade, producing films, was a production manager and editor for documentary films. He did contract work for a big film institute in Washington, D.C., and he edited features for TV shows and theatrical distribution and syndication and cable networks and that sort of thing. So let's listen to an interview he did recently. And this guy's in the Truther movement, Stephen Jacobson is an icon. So let's listen to this interview with Stephen Jacobson, somebody trying to wake up the normies.
The basic problem is that we are living in a virtual reality. We're living in a totally controlled environment, an environment that has been created by mass media. Now, many people, especially young people, accept unquestioningly the reality that is presented by the media. Popular culture, movies, television, music, carry messages about how society works and how people should behave. And so entertainment is not value-free. It has ideological content. It presents a worldview that influences the people who watch the programming. There is a reason why television networks and the music industry, the various companies, they have programming departments. The programming that we are constantly assaulted by throughout our life conditions us. It programs us to a particular worldview. Now, we may consider it normal, because we were born into this system of lies and deception. In fact, deception has become part of the social framework of society. And because we were born into this situation and our parents were born into it and have suffered from it, we don't know any better. And so we don't necessarily see things as they are. We see things as we are. Now, there are two primary means by which people are manipulated and controlled. One is very simple, very basic, and that is simply the control of information and the control of, if we don't have all of the facts on any particular topic, then our judgment is going to be no better than the quality of our information. And in spite of the fact that we have an information overload through all the information that's available on the internet and other sources, we have to have the presence of mind to be able to evaluate the information that we have available. And it's a matter of having to dig through and determine what's true, what are the lies, what are the half-truths, under that one basic heading, information control, where there has been a long-held consolidation of ownership of the different medias, press, publishing, film, music, television, consolidated ownership into the hands of very few individuals, the multinational corporations. Today, there are a half a dozen multinational corporations that are controlling the information and entertainment choices that people have. Working as an editor, it was easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or change the meaning of what someone says through editing. And so I was very well aware of how plastic and moldable media reality was. But I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated and controlled by media, including those people who work in it. Using television as the prime example of how mental programming and mind control works, television is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And yet, television, for many people, is a member of the family in the household.
It's the primary member.
Yes.
It runs the household.
Yes, well, not only that, but it's the primary source of information, and the television, in effect, represents an altar, a religious altar that the nation is worshiping before. Many people don't think about the things that affect them subconsciously, because generally they don't know what to look for until someone comes around and starts pointing these things out to them, and then they can see how we are all influenced by unseen forces without our conscious awareness. In fact, the ultimate control is to control people without their conscious awareness. Again, television is a prime example. Think back to whenever you have observed young children or older adults sitting watching television. They have this glassy-eyed, vacant look in their eyes because they are in a trance state, in a hypnotic state of mind. This is very important, very significant, that the medium of television has the capacity to do this, and it doesn't matter what you're watching. The flickering effect of the television image, although it appears to be static and stationary, it is actually flickering. We don't see it consciously, but subconsciously, the repeating visual pattern of the flicker induces the trance state. And that's the basic principle behind hypnotic programming, is that you get the subject to focus the attention of the conscious mind on one of the five senses. So in the case of watching television, we're talking about the sense of sight and the flickering image. In the case of sound, any repeating sound pattern will induce the trance state. Now, why this is important is that we are more suggestible to mental programming during this state of mind than at any other time. We're very vulnerable to manipulation at this time, because the first order of business for a propagandist or an advertiser is to create the circumstances that will induce a state of mind that is favorable to the reception of their message. And that state of mind is the hypnotic state of mind, making television extremely important in this whole process of creating a unified mindset among the entire population. Have you ever bought something and then later on wondered why did you buy it? I think we've all had that kind of experience.
Quite a few times.
Well, that's a common everyday illustration of being triggered to make a purchase based on a conditioned response that has been built into us to have a preference for a particular product. In fact, that is the whole point of programming, whether it be by an advertiser or a propagandist. There's really no difference between the two. One's selling products, the other is selling ideas. The whole point is to build into us a conditioned response where we will respond automatically without thinking with a preference for a particular idea or preference for a particular product. And that is the whole point of programming. If you think about it, whenever you hear news broadcasters speak, you realize that regardless of their ethnic background, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, or Oriental, they all have a similar manner of speaking. They have a speech pattern that is associated with the dissemination of true factual information on a news broadcast. Their speech pattern is similar to the pattern speech of a hypnotist. The news broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer. Another hypnotic technique.
Mm-hmm.
The newscaster is an authority figure, encouraging the acceptance of the information.
Yes.
People will accept information that comes from an accepted and respected authority. And then the repetition of the information over and over and over again is what builds that conditioned response, so that whenever they are presented with the information again, then they'll accept it automatically without thinking about it.
Do you think that the media is complicit in sort of the mind control aspect? Do you think that they are, because I'm a firm believer that the media is completely controlled.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and that's my feeling as well, in my experience, that the media has become the fourth branch of government.
Gosh, golly, gosh.
That's right, Gomer. So what did we see there? Well, remember, a few weeks ago, we talked about Catherine Austin Fitz and her interview on The High Wire, and she was talking about this dual reality that we heard Stephen Jacobson open that interview with, and she was comparing it to Disney World and the infrastructure they have underground to actually create that illusion known as Disney World. Well, that same thing happens with the deep state. So when you go into Wall Street or you go into Washington, D.C., you get into the underworld, so to speak, the infrastructure creating this reality that we're all living in. And like Stephen said, so we don't see reality as it is, but we see it as we are. And that's the key. So this led him to leave the film industry, do this research on mind control and the use of hypnotic programming and mass media. And how about that part at the end? Did you ever notice that? Sometime turn off the volume and just watch one of the news readers. And that's what they are. They're not reporters. They're news readers. And did you know there's AI intelligence out right now? Maybe we'll do a show on that, or maybe I can cover that next week. But the programming technology now with the computers at Google can actually create articles. Remember we talked about the one that you just put any county in and it'll give you the COVID death numbers? That's all AI, folks. Those aren't reporters writing all those articles. Those articles are generated from your web search. Now, does any of this even surprise you? Remember, folks, we covered the CIA's involvement in the media for years. We've been talking about Operation Mockingbird. Remember that? Mainstream media has been taken over by the CIA. Folks, this isn't conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. Do you remember that, folks? In fact, it goes way back before even the development of the Navy of Office Intelligence, the Office of Navy Intelligence, and the CIA, and all those other special groups. This goes back to 1915 when J.P. Morgan and some of his interests in the steel and shipbuilding industries purchased editorial control of 25 of the most influential newspapers in the country and allowed their special lobby group to control the news about military preparedness, financial policies, and other things crucial to their private and corporate interests. Remember what the Bible says, folks. And it should be rendered properly, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not some evil, not most evil, all evil. Folks, Operation Mockingbird was the CIA's effort to consolidate and expand the secret hold over the media about three decades after they saw the effectiveness of it and what J.P. Morgan was able to achieve. Now, these propaganda messages, they change with times, but the basic mode of operation, it remains the same from back then till today. If anything got more efficient with the smartphones and the artificial intelligence and now 5G, by golly, folks, the very system which is giving you this information overload has also caused many of the symptoms falsely attributed to COVID-19. Folks, these are facts. These are scientific facts. So Stephen believes, as I do, mind control is the most important issue facing America today. And that's why I ask you at the beginning of today's show whether you have a renewed mind or a mind conformed to the lies of this world. So I hope you stay tuned to the end of this message, because we're going to hear what the Bible has to say about the most important topic that we can all address today. And that's a matter of our life in the spirit, which leads us to liberty. You know, freedom of mind is the first freedom from which all others are derived. And the solution to the problems we face today, folks, requires a raising of the consciousness of the sheeple, as I call them, and giving them the tools they need to discern for themselves the difference between what's real and what's an illusion. But folks, we're already 27 minutes into the show, and we have to move on. For now, it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, let's get started with the coronavirus heist. The truth is, folks, we're not all in this together. Now, did you hear this latest one out of Florida? Did you hear about the South Florida doctor who refuses to treat patients who are unvaxxed? Now, this is about a three-minute clip, and it gets into some of that manipulation by the controlled media at the end. That's why I left it in, because we just listened to Mr. Jacobson's interview where he talks about how the media manipulates our thoughts. So now, with that in mind, listen to this interview with this whacked out doctor who applies some very faulty logic, and then listen to how the media spins this with their authorities and their appeal to reason, although it's actually fallacious from the very beginning. But just listen to this three-minute clip.
South Florida doctor is giving her patients an ultimatum.
Yeah, either they get the COVID vaccine or they'll have to look for another doctor.
NBC6 reporter Amanda Placencia spoke to the family physician about her decision. No vaccine, no treatment. One local doctor is taking matters into her own hands to encourage her patients to get the COVID vaccine.
I understand people are free to choose, but To me, it's a problem when it affects other people.
Dr. Linda Maricini accepts most types of insurance, but she says she won't treat you in her office if you're not vaccinated from COVID-19. With the Delta variant causing the latest COVID surge, she says she had to make a tough decision for her practice.
When it comes to the safety of others, when it comes to the global health problem, community health problem, at this point, I really say that this is where it draws a line in the sand for me.
The family practice physician based in South Miami sent this letter to her patients saying they will no longer continue seeing patients who are not vaccinated by September 15th, as they don't want to subject other patients and staff to unnecessary risk. She says their decision was based on science, not politics.
And there's been also millions of deaths globally. So, I mean, that's not something to ignore. People are getting to where everybody knows somebody that died from COVID. You know, this is a problem that really everybody needs to help out with. And it's affecting our collective communal health.
Dr. Maricini says her letter does not violate the Hippocratic Oath regarding the obligations of doctors to their patients because she's still giving the option for telemedicine or referral to other doctors. But can she do this without violating state law? Governor DeSantis signed a bill earlier this year banning vaccine passports. In September 16th, Florida could start issuing up to $5,000 fines to businesses, schools, and government agencies that ask for proof that you're vaccinated. We spoke to attorney Juan Carlos Planas about the legalities in this specific case.
I don't believe you can treat a medical clinic the same way you can any business. But I also think that she lays something very crystal clear that will probably impede the state's ability to fine any business. She lays out in a medical way how exactly she wants to protect her staff. And she specifically states that no medical professional has found many people who cannot be vaccinated for medical reasons. And she lays out all the different treatments out there and why some are good, some are bad. And she even says that the antibody treatment is not a substitute for vaccination.
Dr. Maricini says only about 15% of her patients were hesitant about the COVID-19 vaccine. She gave many of her patients about a month to figure out a plan moving forward. Amanda Placencia, NBC6 News.
Folks, first they tried class warfare. That didn't work. Then they tried race warfare, and that didn't work. Now they're trying medical or vaccine warfare, but it's not going to work either, folks. I truly believe that the American public are going to wake up to the sham. You know, they're on their fourth shot, their second booster in Israel now, but you're not even hearing about this in the news. So what's it mean to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19? Does that mean you need one jab or two jabs, or do you have to get the booster now? Remember, they're not even reporting a death of somebody who has been vaccinated twice unless 14 days has passed. They're not counting that death as the death of a fully vaccinated individual. So all these statistics they're generating, and folks, I live and die by numbers. I'm a scientist, an accomplished scientist, and what I see is an assault to my discipline, assault to my profession. Yet when I try to speak out about this, I'm the crazy one. The point is, they're changing words. What's it even mean when you say vaccine today? Did you know they changed that word? So let's hear from an expert as he answers some questions from a normie concerning vaccinations.
Had the vaccine, then you're protected, but you should still wear a mask indoors.
But I'm protected.
Yes, but you could still get it.
Then why did I get the vaccine?
To protect everyone else.
But I can still spread COVID after having the vaccine?
That's right.
But I can't get sick.
No, you can still catch COVID.
Then why did I get the vaccine?
To reduce the symptoms.
So I won't die?
No comment.
But I thought that's why I got the shot.
Exactly.
So the vaccine isn't working then?
Oh, no, it works great. Just be sure to wear a mask or three, because the virus can mutate.
But the vaccine stops the virus from mutating?
Definitely not.
I'm confused.
That's what we're looking for. Kamala, you taking notes? Because that's how it's done.
Okay, so that was some humor. But there's a motive to my madness, folks. Do you know what a normie is? Well, a normie is a person that gravitates to the social standards, the accepted practice, the fads of their own time or geographic grouping. You know, they lack a broader cultural perspective. They do not critically think. You know, normies possess this lack of interest in ideas not easily accessible. Those outside society's current norm or range of acceptance. So their true understanding of the reality isn't being based upon reality, but rather their perception of reality. Remember, Paul said we all see dimly through the glass, or we all perceive reality in a bias. So wouldn't you want to have the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God, to see these things? You know, these normies, they're called straights or followers. Most normies adopt a popularity measure as good and bad. So if everybody's doing it, it must be good. Or they embrace what now's out there. Nobody's evil. People aren't intrinsically wicked, as the gospel teaches. No. If there's a mean person out there, they probably had a bad childhood. So when they see all this stuff happening in the world, they couldn't possibly assume that there are these nefarious Luciferians behind it all that don't give one iota about your life or mine, and will literally sacrifice billions at the altar of Baal to achieve their goal, which is the New World Order and the throne of the Antichrist. That's what's coming, folks. So they adopt this popularity view. Okay, normies typically have this sense of cultural superiority over any counterculture or counterthought out there. So they look at people like me and you, truthers, and they think we're the freaks. And they'll try to discredit our perspective, which falls outside of the majority groupthink, the Orwellian groupthink. And they'll think they're doing good. You know, the Bible says they'll kill you and think they're doing God a favor. They look at us as mentally ill and out of touch with reality. But get this, most normies don't believe they're normies. So normies are easily molded to suit virtually any desired value system of the establishment. In theory, this scamdemic, okay, I'd say the coup d'etat. You know, before that, the basic American was embracing this consumer system conditioned by decades of marketing using Bernays methodology to force the masses to consume what's easily attainable with little or no resistance. So you get a baked beans, you get some hot dogs, you have dinner. But what's it doing to your immune system and your overall health? You get sick, you go to the allopathic doctor, and he gives you a pill, and you pop a pill. You never think about changing your lifestyle, get more rest, maybe eating healthy food. We're going to get into some of that with Coop Duck. So the system teaches normies that popular is good. And what they do is they perceive, if it's been accepted by their peers, it must have been vetted and it's okay. So the majority culture definitions are rooted in these shallow concepts and fads that soon go out of vogue, and then they're called old-fashioned. Folks, the Tavistock Institute and the methodologies of Edward Bernays has been applied on the public, and now they can shift through the mass media controlled by the CIA, like we've talked, topic in just 14 days. Folks, that's a normie. If you fall into this one, conform to this world's false narrative and blindly accepting it. The entire mass media narrative of the last 2 years in the scamdemic is the coup d'etat, and that's what I'm saying. So you can show them proof and explain to them that back in 1913, the bankers stole our money system from we the people. We went from a private money system with public finance, and that's how government had to do everything. You owned the gold, you owned the silver, to what's called public money and private debt. And that's a whole theory of economics that most people can't even get their head around. And when I try to talk about it, you just see that blind look go over their face. And then in 1933, these same bankers that are now controlling the money system bankrupted the United States and forced Congress to declare we the people enemies of the state through the Trading with the Enemies Act. This is all fact, folks. So now you and me are enemies of the state. That's how they can do all of this. That's how they can force these things upon us. This isn't the same country that our founding fathers established. But we're going to get into that later. Now, this Trading with the Enemies Act is exactly what gave FDR the authority to confiscate the real money or the gold. Do you know it was illegal to own gold in the United States after this act by FDR? So they took our real money, gold, and forced this paper money upon us. And, you know, I love this.
Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny.
To that later in the show. This led to the current economic crisis we're in right now. Remember what the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So yes, this isn't about some rogue virus that's killing millions of people. Folks, I talked about numbers before. People don't understand very large numbers like a trillion. People don't understand very small numbers like 0.0005%. So I use the analogy for very large numbers of seconds. You know what a million seconds are? Well, a million seconds are about 11 days. How about a billion seconds? Okay, so if a million seconds are 11 days, let's think about life first. How many seconds are in a billion seconds? Well, that's 30 years, folks. So people hear that they just spent $3 billion on some project. People have no concept of a billion, let alone a trillion. You know what a trillion would be in terms of seconds? Try to picture a trillion seconds. Do you even live a trillion seconds? Well, no. A trillion seconds is 30,000 years, give or take. So people have no concept of big numbers. And they have no concept of small numbers. So when you hear about these very small numbers, and even that Florida doctor that said millions of people globally have died from coronavirus, well, perhaps they have died with it, but I doubt they all died from it. But let's give them that. Think about these numbers in terms of the number of drops of water in a gallon of water. Well, you know, folks, even with all the people that died in a world that has nearly 8 billion people in it, because we don't understand big numbers and small numbers, we're talking about drops of water out of that gallon. That's the total death pool from this entire scamdemic. Let's put it in terms of perspective, folks. So are these draconian measures they're taking, forcing these RNA gene manipulation technologies upon the people, these lockdowns, this economic upheaval, Is it worth it, folks? It's all about an economic crisis that they've lost control of because Hillary Clinton didn't become president in 2016. Remember, we were going to go to war, and then war will wipe out all the debt, and they can restart. But if they're exposed, folks, and people wake up to this lie called paper money, it's all over. So back in August 22nd, 2019, at the annual think meeting for the central bankers at Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Philip Heidelbrand, a BlackRock executive, presented a paper, a proposal for going direct, and it was titled Dealing with the Next Downturn from Unconventional Monetary Policy to Unprecedented Policy Coordination, proposing unprecedented coordination through a monetary financial fiscal facility. Now, this paper advocates going direct, and we talked about that in Catherine Austin Fitz's interview with Del Bigtree on the High Wire. So in the next economic downturn, they want to be able to take you to direct digital currency on a COVID passport linked to your social credit. In other words, if you speak out like I do, oop, there goes your money. You can't buy bread, can't pay your utilities. So you're going to be good. Now, the paper advocates this going direct in the next downturn. We're living it right now, folks. Now, your normie friend or family member has a blind look on your eye when you're sharing this stuff. They look at you as if you're clueless. No, folks, they're the clueless ones. So when you try to explain this going directly from the BlackRock paper, and by the way, folks, BlackRock is the primary owner of Vanguard, which is one of the biggest funds in the country. And they're buying up all this real estate all around these areas where there were the mostly peaceful riots, which happened to be in the centers where the 12 Federal Reserve banks are, and the 5G is being rolled out for the smart grid system, which is going to control the people through the direct COVID passport system. Folks, they're forging the chains for our slavery as they promote Black Lives Matter and reparations. What irony, isn't it? So you try to explain this to your normie friends or family members, and they just totally go blank on you. Now, this paper is very good, and perhaps we'll do some more on it next week. But, you know, this all started years ago when Nixon took us off the gold standard and they started to indiscriminately print money. And the Keynesian economic system is linked to the productivity or output of the particular economy, and that's how you have to match fiscal policy with regard to the printing of this imaginary funny money. You know, a dollar is a unit of measure. A measure of what? A particular amount of gold or silver. Yet today we made the dollar the actual currency. It's so upside down. So then after this Jackson Hole event in August of 2019, we had event 201 in November of 2019. And you remember that? That's where they did the live action role play of the coronavirus. And they brought in the media moguls and the government officials, and they planned the entire thing before it happened. Yes, folks, COVID was planned. Remember the 2010 Rockefeller document titled Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development? It had an entire section on it on using a pandemic to drive change. And what's the change here? Going direct, totally wiping out paper money, the funny money, so that now you have to use your digital currency. And if you're a bad boy or a bad girl and you speak out against the system, which is mind controlling the masses, they shut you off. And that's what's been unfolding over the past 18 months. And it's outlined exactly to the T in this Rockefeller document. Folks, they even knew about it, and Fauci let it slip back in 2017. We played this a year ago. I'd like to replay it. This is a 2017 talk by Fauci, and it's in somebody else's blog, but listen to it.
Back in 2017, at a forum on pandemic preparedness at Georgetown University, Dr. Fauci made an interesting statement. Fauci told the audience the Trump administration will not only be challenged by ongoing global health threats such as influenza and HIV, but also a surprise disease outbreak. That was quite a prediction considering it was back in 2017. Here is the video.
That I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations, I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that, but also there will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. And I hope by the end of my relatively short presentation, you will understand why history, the history of the last 32 years that I've been the director of NIAID, will tell the next administration that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they will be faced with the challenges that their predecessors were faced with.
Did you hear that? Plus, they went on to redefine epidemic, pandemic, herd immunity, and now even vaccine, which we've covered countless times on the show since back in March 2020. In fact, this is the second redefinition of vaccine, the one that just came out this week. And now there's even the smoking gun of the gain-of-function research through the Freedom of Information Act request. Do you know about that? Where it's proven now that Fauci has lied to Congress. He was funding gain of research using taxpayer dollars to the Wuhan laboratory in China. It's all there with Peter Drozak and the EcoHealth Alliance. Remember we played those clips from, I forget the source of that information. But we heard Peter Drozak talking about the fact that this will be the way that they can implement mass vaccinations. And this isn't for anything other than human 2.0. They are literally changing the genetic structure of people. Now, the question you have to ask is why? So It's all out there now. Fauci lied to Congress. His emails with Peter Drozdak are out there. You know, search some of this, but do not use Google, because use AI and they control this. Go to DuckDuckGo or one of the other more representative searches and just type in Peter Drozdak and Eco Health Alliance, gain of function, Fauci. It was all premeditated, folks, but it even gets worse. These vaccines are actually weaponized biohazards. Remember when the Moderna truck crashed? Where was it? In Virginia or West Virginia? They sent in hazmat teams, fully suited, and the Department of Defense was there to clean it up. They closed off the airspace above the crash area. Yet no normie even questions any of this. And if you tell them this, they'll think you're lying because it didn't make the ABC nightly news. Folks, this is all true. Or how about this one? Did you hear about the latest, you know, these pilots are being forced to take these jabs. And the pilots are dying. Now, I don't know if you know who Stu Peters is, but he's a fairly significant conservative talk show host, and he had Dr. Ruby on recently. And Dr. Ruby did a synopsis, and I had the clip, but it didn't load properly, so we're just going to talk about it for a minute. Dr. Ruby covers all the different, you know, there were the four or five British Air pilots who died, then all the Air Canada pilots who are dying, there's some Delta pilots, and now there was this one who died in flight with the Himalayan airline, and then it had to be, the plane had to be emergency landed by the co-pilot. Didn't make the news, folks. I mean, I've been flying my entire professional career. I've logged millions of miles in flight. And never once has the thought crossed my mind, my pilot might die. But pilots are dying left and right. And what's unique? They've been forced to take the jab. Yet we don't talk about this. Folks, I think it's time to just say no. Just say no. There's a rap video out there. So we've talked about Tom McDonald, and folks, you know that rap is not my, what do you want to call it, my style of music. This one I heard, and I just want to play part of it. The whole clip is about 4 minutes. I'm not going to do the whole thing because we are rapidly running out of time, and I'm nowhere near the end of the show. But just listen to the first 30 seconds of this clip.
This is a violation of our charter rights, Section 6, and a violation of the Emergency Act, Section 21.
And I refuse to have
the
tax.
I tell everybody to do this.
With a touch of the flu, and I'm kinda skeptical of what he told me to do. He said that I should lock myself inside my room for a year, shut my non-essential business down and cower in fear. I said, Doc, I don't know, that seems so out of line. Give it 3, maybe 4 days, I bet I'll be fine. He said, no, you must not, you must wait for the shot. Everybody's gotta get it or society stops. I said, Doc, I don't know, is that all really true? These shots are brand new, they ain't fully approved. He said, no, you can trust us, it's the latest in science. Never mind the people dying, just give up your compliance. I said, Doc, you must have me mistaken with someone pliable. I can't trust you if none of these companies are liable. So I'm gonna stay the course like a one-way road. Take your vaccine and shove it, I'ma just say no.
So I encourage you to listen to RC Just Say No. That was the first minute of his amazing video. And like I said, Tom McDonald's doing a lot of good ones too. But folks, we have to keep moving. It's now time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. In Japanese, ka means salt, boo means dance, dance. Ki means steal from the verb, kabu means to slam or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before you're done. Stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go. Good is bad, bad, bad is good. Up is down, light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Now, I saw the effectiveness of Tom McDonald and his messaging and now what RC Rapper's doing. And I made a couple. I made the coronavirus heist video. That one went viral off of Twitter before they started to de-throttle me. And then I did the Kabuki Theater update. It's all about the velocity of money. They were not ready. They did not have their control grid system in. So when you have to print all this money to balance the ledgers and people can't spend it or you'll hyperinflate, so they lock down the economy. Talking about this 18 months ago, folks. But here's some genuine. I'm talking classic Kabuki Theater. I don't know if you heard it, but everybody knows the debacle over in Afghanistan. But did you hear what Lindsey Graham said on the Sunday morning news shows just last Sunday? Listen to this. It's true classic Kabuki theater.
We will be going back into Afghanistan as we went back into Iraq and Syria. To the
Are you seriously think the United States will once again in a foreseeable future put troops back into Afghanistan?
We'll have to because the threat will be so large. Why did we go back to Syria and Iraq? Why do we have 5,000 troops in Iraq today? Because of the caliphate rising, projecting force outside of Iraq, killing Americans, killing the French, attacking the British. So, yes, it will be a cauldron for radical Islamic behavior. You cannot deal with this over the horizon. Here's my solution. Help the resistance in the Panjshir Valley. The Taliban will not be able to govern Afghanistan. They're hated by the Afghan people. What's going to happen over time is you're going to see the resistance rise. ISIS will come after the Taliban large, and the entire country is going to fracture in the next year, creating...
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. That was pure Kabuki. But how's that even possible? Well, it's possible because America is asleep. Wake up, America. The American public, the official enemies of the federal government, remember with the Trading with the Enemies Act, and that goes back to the FDR administration, they've been dumbed down how? Through the government education system, euphemistically called public education. So critical thinking has been supplanted or replaced with compliant behavior where whatever the authority figure tells you, you must believe to be true. In fact, teachers are now selected by their ability to conform to authority. Now, Dennis Cuddy published an article in the News with a View back in April, and it was titled An Unaware and Complacent Citizenry. And folks, if you don't read News with the Views, I'd recommend you get out there. So he published this on April 26, 2021, and he opens with this sentence. In the previous article, I quoted from emails by Democratic strategist Bill Ivey to John Podesta and Podesta's subsequent strategy as Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential campaign manager. Now, you know the big email dumped by WikiLeaks of all the Podesta emails and tying them into Pizzagate, which, oh, that's not true either, but it is. Just do some research, folks, and you'll see that all that symbology on those pizza shops in Washington, D.C. are the identical symbology used in the FBI pedophilia warnings on how these sickos communicate to one another. But it wasn't on ABC News, so it mustn't be true. So anyways, Dennis Cuddy said that his response to that other article, which maybe we'll cover that next week, was overwhelming, so he wanted to give more history. Now, Podesta was Clinton's chief of staff back in the Bill Clinton administration, and Ivey was communicating with him regarding their education conspiracy. And on March 13, 2016, Ivey wrote to Podesta, and this is all in the leaked emails, "We've been quite content to demean government, drop civics in general, conspire to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry." Now, notice Ivey says "we've," and he uses the past tense. Now, that implies something. Well, it implies actually two things. It implies that there was a fairly large group involved here that had conspired for a long time. Now, why would that be? Well, if you critically think and you don't compliantly behave to say, well, how long would it take to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry? You see my point, folks? So there's another document in this email dump from April 23rd, 2015, and it was part of the tens of thousands of emails, which nobody looks at except people like me, that showed Podesta's strategy strategy from a long game, okay? And in it, he wrote, we need to be elevating certain Republican Pied Piper candidates so they are leaders of the pack and tell the press to take them seriously. And then one member of the compliant press, the Washington Post, reported in early August 2015 that Bill Clinton, and folks, it's out there. Just go to the archives and look. Bill Clinton had a telephone conversation late in the spring with Donald Trump. And the gist of this call was that Clinton was encouraging, Bill Clinton was encouraging Trump's efforts to play a larger role in the Republican Party. Folks, this is all kabuki theater. And then they discussed Trump's prospects and his desires to rouse the GOP base. Controlled opposition, folks. The Clintons and others' efforts to produce an unaware and compliant citizenry began with the National Education Association. That's the NEA's. Catherine Barrett's writings back in 1973. She was the president of the NEA. And in Saturday Review of Education, she wrote, dramatic changes in the way we will raise our children in the year 2000 are indicated, particularly in terms of schooling. We will need to recognize that the so-called basic skills, you know, the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, which currently represent nearly the total effort in elementary schools, will be taught in one quarter of the present school day. So what do you do with the other three quarters? Critical thinking again, folks. Well, when this happens, and it's near, the teacher can rise up to his true calling. So what is the true calling? That's what a compliant thinker would next ask. Well, more than a dispenser of information, the teacher will become a conveyor of values, a philosopher of sorts, change agents. And that's what they call them in the Delphi method. Folks, are you aware of the Delphi method? We've covered this on the show. So how do they do this? How do they accomplish this? Through values clarification techniques. The values of the youth of America will be changed from Judeo-Christian morality to situational ethics. Now, I remember back in high school, folks, I had two advanced placement teachers and my AP teachers in English, Mrs. Goodman. And I went to high school back in the 70s, folks. And Mrs. Goodman, I remember one day, we're sitting there in AP English and we're reading classics, you know, reading all the classics like Dostoevsky and Jane Austen and that sort of stuff, Pride and Prejudice. Remember all those classics that nobody reads anymore? And one day she comes in and we thought we were going to go over the book. And she starts talking about homosexuality and population control and how homosexuals should get married. And that's a way to control population. And we're all sitting there like totally shocked because, you know, back then it wasn't cool to be a homosexual. We're just sitting there and we didn't know what to think. And then I also had a civic teacher. I don't even think they teach civics anymore. I forgot his name. But he had some of the most radical views that you could ever imagine. And later in my awakening, I realized he was teaching us Marxist philosophy in civics class. Folks, this was back in 1978, 1979. So get this, back in the 80s, Hillary Clinton, right about the time I was getting all this, along with David Rockefeller Jr. and others, became board members of the Carnegie National Center of Education. And guess who else was involved with that, folks? Mario Cuomo. He was the chairman. And North Carolina Governor Jim Hunt was the vice chairman. And the president of this group was none other than Mark Tucker, who right after Bill Clinton won the presidency back in November of 1992, he wrote a letter to Hillary Clinton saying that this would give them a chance to implement their cradle-to-grave plan for all Americans. Do you remember Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village? So let me ask you all a question. Is this interesting? Because I am running out of a lot of time here. I'm down to less than an hour, and we have to keep going. You know, I just had my – that's not good. Did you hear that? Not good. I think I'm still on the air, but we had a little snafu here. I am now in some kind of crazy loop. But, folks, I'm just asking a question. I hope that doesn't continue for the rest of the show, and I don't know if you can even hear it, but did you like this information I was sharing? Sounds like you did. So anyways, I have the little robo-attendant there telling me that I have to... Are we on the air? Don't know. But anyways, I'm going to continue because I do have it being recorded enough to. I'll re-upload it. So let's just mark this at the 1 hour and 6 minute mark. If I have to, we will re-upload the show. So folks, if you can't hear me anymore, you don't even know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to continue. We'll pick up on this next week because there's a lot more where that came from. But right now, folks, it's time for Coop Talk. But I don't see Henrietta. Where are you, Henrietta? Are you there? Are you there, Henrietta? There she is. There she is. So, you know, we're talking a lot about health here, and things just are so crazy right now. And everybody's going to their allopathic physicians for any ache and pain. They're even going to their doctors to ask if it's okay to exercise. You know what we've done in 100 years? We've made allopathic physicians are gods. You know, before that, and before the takeover by the Rockefeller Foundation, the entire medical system was comprised of allopathic physicians, homeopathic physicians, naturopaths. How about the ancient medicines of the Chinese and the nation India? Around for thousands of years. Yet we see our allopathic medical system collapsing in 100. So what can you do naturally to help immune health? Well, 70% of it starts with gut health, and we're going to talk about that. But there's about 6-7 things you can do. First of all, drink lots of fluids, and the best fluid is water. Get as much in you as you can and make sure it's a good, clean water, not the stuff out of the tap, you know, that has all sorts of chemicals in from chlorine to fluoride. They cause all sorts of things. You know, fluoride is a class 5 neurotoxin. Look it up in the index. Pre-lethal or LD50 doses cause mental stupor. It was used in the gulags to control the masses. It's another way to become a normie, folks. But anyways, lots of water, lots of exercise. Exercise regularly. Don't ask your doctor if you can exercise. Use common sense. And reduce the stress in your life. And what's the easiest way to do that? Turn off the television. Put on some music. Read a book. Or watch a stupid movie if you have to have the boob tube on. But don't that news feed you with constant fear. And then make sure you get a good night's sleep. Sleep is a very important process. And eat foods that have probiotic character. And what is that? Well, it includes all sorts of good, healthy, beneficial bacteria. You know, in a healthy gut, you have over 30,000 different bacteria in your body. And if you get into an unhealthy diet, you can see that reduced to less than 10,000 in a matter of 2 weeks of unhealthy eating. And then if you want to go back and jumpstart your system, it takes over a month, maybe 6 weeks. And these fermented and cultured foods are a good way to do that. That includes unpasteurized sauerkraut and kimchi, cottage cheese, yogurt, kefir. You know, that's the thicker, creamy, drinkable yogurt. There's some other ones. The Indians have a drink called asai, yogurt and buttermilk blended with water. There's some other ones, tofu, miso, natto, kombucha. These are just some of the various fermented foods you ought to be eating. And then eat a well-balanced diet. Avoid the processed foods. If it's green and fresh and clean, eat it. If it's in a box, throw it out. Eat a rainbow of vegetables, you know, and lots of fruits. Good, healthy, complex carbohydrates with a low impact glycemically. Minimize those processed foods. Avoid sugar and at all costs, avoid high fructose corn syrup. There's no nutrients in those things. And, folks, if you're a soda fanatic, stop it immediately. I haven't had a soda in my body since I built the house. And if you've been a longtime listener, you know I was drinking a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi or Coke every night out here. And one night my system just crashed. You know, I'd work all day at PPG, come out here, work on this property till 11 o'clock, 12 at night, and then drive back, get about 3 hours of sleep and do it all over again. One night I just crashed. I just had a breakdown. I couldn't do it. My system was in overload. So soda is one of the worst things you could put into your body. And then finally, my favorite, nutritional supplements. Things like vitamin C, vitamin D3. Actually, that's a hormone, and it's produced from sunlight, you know, on your skin without sunscreen. Folks, it's not the sunlight that's causing the cancer. It's the sunscreens with PABA, P-A-B-A. Do some research and look at the correlation. When sunscreens were launched, that's exactly when skin cancer increased. So you want to get vitamin A, B6, vitamin E, and don't forget zinc. Now, if that's interesting, email me. And what we can do is get into more detail on that. Maybe I'll get into some more of the supplements next week. But right now it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. So we have this report from the Gateway Pundit. Senator Doug Mastriano here in Pennsylvania vows to issue subpoenas for forensic election audit in the coming weeks. So he was on One American News. And folks, I know there was corruption. But the reason I put this in the Hopium Report is, for God's sake, do these people really think the deep state's just going to give it up as soon as they present all their information? I guess the canvassing results from Arizona were released this week, and there's 200,000 felonious ballots out there from the canvassing they've detected, and I guess 90% of them were Biden votes. Has anything changed? How about Mike Lindell's big cyber symposium? It was infiltrated, and he keeps saying, I have all the smoking gun proof. Well, you know, it's kind of like lettuce in the produce market. You don't have a lot of time to sell that lettuce. It spoils. It wilts. Hey, Mike, if you have it, you need to release it. But I really don't think anything's going to happen. You know, Mastriano's initiating this forensic probe of the Pennsylvania election results. And you know what happened in my little county of Armstrong? Go to bed, wake up the next morning, 20,000 Trump votes gone. No explanation of it. So I know there was corruption. Even here in my little Republican-run county, something happened. Folks, there's no proof that vaccines work. There's no proof that masks work. There's no proof that Obama was eligible to be president. If you look at the document he released, it was doctored. If you look at all the past history that's being wiped out, he's Kenyan-born. There's no proof that Biden is mentally fit to perform the duties of the office of the executive. There's no proof that the Afghan refugees aren't Taliban members. None. Yet there's massive proof of a fraudulent election, and because the world we live in is a kabuki theater, and I've tried to point this out for the past 18 months, nothing is going to happen. And that's why I put this under the Hopian Report. But now, folks, it's time for the Absurdian Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises, the show begins.
Okay, so you're not going to believe this. San Francisco's paying people not to shoot each other. Yes, Newsweek reported on a program called Dream Keepers. And this program pays offenders of lethal gun crimes $1,000 to be part of a transformation program. So instead of putting them in jail for being a crook or a criminal, they pay them to join this program. And in this program, they're paid monies from $300 a month, and they ultimately become eligible for $500 a month if they meet certain milestones. And you ready for this? And this is why this is in the Absurdian report. They get paid $500 a month if they don't shoot anybody. Can you believe this craziness? Can you believe this? Or how about this one? Did you hear about the health official in Australia who says the quiet part out loud? Okay. Now, this is a short clip, and I repeated her one comment three or four times, so you'll hear it. But she says the quiet part out loud. She says, we're going to all see what contract tracing looks like in the New World Order. Listen to this.
Will they be put back in place to be listed once we are reopening? Because they're not at the moment.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order, in the New World Order, in the New World Order, in the New World Order. Yes, it will be pubs and clubs and other things if we have a positive case there. Our response may be different if we know that people are fully vaccinated. So we're working through a number of those issues, but we will have to reflect and learn.
So there you have it. We'll be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order. Did you hear that? But we have to keep moving. Like I said, it's getting late. Here's Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Okay, so I promised you early in the show some reference materials for the mass psychosis segment. So that's what I'd like to do in Ken's Corner. This was a book by Dr. Mirlo, in my days with Cooper in the 90s, and it should be a must-read for all psychology majors, okay? And that book is called The Rape of the Mind, The Psychology of Spectral Menticide and Brainwashing. Folks, if you want a copy, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com. Now, this video that we've played three clips out of over the last 3 weeks, Mass Psychosis, is in large part devoted to Mirlo's book, which I've read 30 years ago and watched being used on the public all this time. Oh, and today, the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 event, one of the most massive menticide events in the history of the world. Folks, those buildings did not come down by some diesel fuel or jet fuel fire. How about Building 7? Just look at it. Look at the science. Look at the nanoferrite that they found in the dust on apartments, windowsills all around the collapse site. That building was brought down. The engineering proves it, the science proves it, yet we turn a blind eye to it and we believe what these talking heads tell us. And then the Discovery Channel puts their documentary on how Popular Mechanics does, and everybody goes back to sleep. Well, I'm telling you, Mass Psychosis and the book by Mirlo are must-reads. And then don't forget Stephen Jacobson and his website, Mind Control in America. And do not try to find it on Google. Use DuckDuckGo or you won't find it, but it's very simple. MindControlInAmerica.com. Watch both videos, Mass Psychosis and his Mind Control in America. And there's another one we're going to talk to a little bit later. Folks, St. Paul said to put on a helmet of salvation. And why do you want to do that? He said it over in, Ephesians? As warriors, as truth warriors, we need to have a helmet to protect our head, because our head, when wounded, means that nothing else will work. That's the point. Like I said, the first battleground for freedom is your mind. So Paul talks about salvation and going to heaven, but he's also talking about a mind under the control of Almighty God. And I'm going to get into more of that later. We don't have time to talk about that today. So I've been talking about critical thinking in a normie, but what is critical thinking? Well, I found a little clip. It's only about 2 minutes, and what I'd like to do is share with you what they call critical thinking. And I think I put it, yeah, here it is. Critical thinking. It's about 2 minutes. Listen to this short narrative on what critical thinking actually is. And by the way, there's this long intro here. I didn't edit this clip correctly, so it's going to start
critical
here.
Critical thinking means making reasoned judgments that are logical and well thought out. It is a way of thinking in which you don't simply accept all arguments and conclusions you are exposed to, but rather have an attitude involving questioning such arguments and conclusions. It requires wanting to see what evidence is involved to support a particular argument or conclusion. People who use critical thinking are the ones who say things such as, "How do you know that? Is this conclusion based on evidence or gut feelings? And are there alternative possibilities when given new pieces of information?" Additionally, critical thinking can be divided into the following three core skills. Curiosity is the desire to learn more information and seek evidence as well as being open to new ideas. Skepticism involves having a healthy questioning attitude about new information that you are exposed to and not blindly believing everything everyone tells you. And finally, humility is the ability to admit that your opinions and ideas are wrong when faced with new convincing evidence that states otherwise. Many people decide to make changes in their daily lives based on anecdotes or stories from one person's experience. For example, let's say that your aunt told you that she takes a vitamin C supplement every day. Additionally, she told you that one morning she was running late for work and forgot to take her vitamin C supplement. That afternoon, she developed a cold. She now insists that you take vitamin C every day or you will get sick, just like...
Well, that was enough of that. Did you see how they got that little doubt in your mind about nutritional supplements? Vitamin C is one of the most important supplements you can take. And I would recommend it in the liposomal form. But even in this critical thinking discourse, which was very good, they had to cast doubt and disparage you. But now, folks, we have to keep moving. It's time for Back to the Future. And this is the segment, folks, where we take something from the past, something old, and bring it back to the future, and then apply it to today's freaky deaky news headlines. So the year is 1993, and I had just finished listening to Wake Up America by Stephen Jacobson. Now, this is his second work after Mind Control in America, and in this, Stephen Jacobson basically explains the entire money system to you and how it's the root of all evil. So what I'd like to do right now is play an intro to Wake Up America. And this is another one of those examples where I was driving to or from work at PPG. I pop in another hour of the time, and what do I hear but this?
The problems in America are the result of people being led to believe things that are not true. America has been lulled into a deep sleep, and it is now time to wake up. Wake up, America. Psychological warfare is being waged against an unsuspecting public. As in any war, the most powerful weapon of all and the least understood by those who need to know is money. In a letter to Thomas Jefferson in 1787, John Adams wrote,
"All the perplexities, confusion, and distress in America arise not from defects of the Constitution, not from want of honor or virtue, so much as from downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation.
What was true then is even more true today. Confusion surrounds the very meaning of the words money, dollar, wealth, inflation, and credit. Add to this widespread public ignorance and confusion concerning tax laws, and you have a system designed to control and enslave the population. The money system operates in a way that would astound most Americans if they only knew how it worked. A dishonest money system is at the very heart of America's economic and social problems. The degree to which the money system is corrupt is the degree to which all other areas of society are corrupted. Money is the builder or destroyer of society. An honest money system brings prosperity to all citizens. A dishonest one enriches a few at the expense of everyone else. If a group of men were able to gain control over the money system of a nation, would they not be masters of that nation? If they had unlimited power to create unlimited amounts of money, could they not direct the course of society and all of its institutions? If their alliance encompassed the length and breadth of the globe, would they not be masters of the world? On November 22, 1910, the nation's leading bankers left by train at night from Hoboken, New Jersey, on a secret mission to Jekyll Island, Georgia. Their mission, to create what was to become the Federal Reserve System. The essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words and infiltrate the mind with conflicting concepts. Use of the word federal in the name Federal Reserve leads the public to believe that the Federal Reserve is a government institution. Contrary to this misleading use of language, the Fed, as it is commonly called, is a private corporation owned by foreign and domestic banks and operated for profit. The Fed controls the nation's money supply and interest rates and thereby manipulates the entire economy in violation of Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution that expressly charges Congress with
power to coin money and regulate the value thereof.
Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says,
no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts.
Gold and silver coin were taken out of circulation, removed as backing for our currency, and replaced with monetized debt, in other words, credit. Credit exists only in the mind. It is not a substance, but an idea represented by bookkeeping entries and computer symbols. In the book 1984, George Orwell warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation, mind control. The manipulation of words and their meaning is the key to controlling what people think. Orwell called the redefining of words newspeak, where traditional definitions are eliminated while new meanings are repeated over and over again until accepted.
So that gives you a little flavor of what's going on. So how's that apply to today and what's going on in the world today? How does that apply? Well, it's the reason we see all the craziness, everything going around us. It's the plandemic, the scandemic, the vaxes, the mostly peaceful protests.
Really?
Yes, Alvin, really. And we're facing an economic pre-planned global financial collapse, which was the end game of the Federal Reserve from day one. You know, wealth isn't created or destroyed in these economic crises. It's not. True wealth, tangible wealth, land, capital equipment, assets, intellectual property, these things just merely transfer ownership. So if you're printing the money and then you distress the economy, you can go in with all your paper money, you know, the funny money, and buy it all up at discount. And that's what they're doing right now with real estate, businesses, and all of the machinery and the IP technology. They're sweeping it up. And we are facing an economic tsunami. And remember I mentioned dealing with the next downturn, the BlackRock paper, from unconventional monetary policy to unprecedented policy coordination. That's the going direct Great Reset. And we heard Klaus Schwab say that by 2030, you will own nothing and be happy. Now, folks, I'm pretty much out of time. I have a little bit, and I'd like to share how you can set your mind free. And I think we're going to have to continue this next week. But the Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So did you know that at this very moment, right now, there's a very deadly and sinister battle underway between God and Satan, this cosmic battle, okay? And it's a battle for your mind and my mind. That's where the battle's being waged. So believe it or not, the battleground's in your mind, in your head. And that's part of your soul. Remember your mind, your will, and your emotions. And those of us who are Christians are caught up in this cosmic battle. So what I'd like to share with you today is the precursor to the message I wanted to share, because like I said, I'm out of time. I have way too much content for this week. But in Ken's Corner, I alluded to the fact that Paul says to put on the helmet of salvation. You know, we're supposed to equip ourselves like a Roman soldier did. And the soldier would put a helmet on his head. And he uses that helmet to protect his head because his head is the seat of the brain. And the brain is the home of the mind where we connect with God. Okay, yes, through your mind. Yes, I know the spirit's involved, but the connection between the spirit and the body is the mind. And your mind's faulty. If your mind's not functioning, if your mind is damaged, you literally cannot communicate via your spirit to your body. So Paul's talking about salvation and going to heaven, but there's more there. He's also talking about a mind under the control of Almighty God. You know, remember when we get saved, and many who listen to this show are saved, but if you're not, understand that all things are made new. You get a new heart, you get a new mind, you're justified or forgiven for the penalty of your sin, and then you get into this process of sanctification where your mind is renewed, no longer conformed to the world, but now you share in the wisdom and power of God, which is the mind of Christ. And this is in the first book of Corinthians early on. But you must choose this. We must choose to no longer conform our minds to the world. We must allow God. This is where free will kicks in, you know. You must allow God to transform your mind. We must choose this. That's the point. So it's a choice. It's an act of free will by each and every believer. So most people think they have free will before they're saved, and no. A sinner sins because that's his nature. But there's this tugging in their heart. They don't understand what it is. And all God's waiting for you to do is to put your hands up in surrender and say, I give up, Lord. I can't do it. I surrender. Forsaking all, I trust him. F-A-I-T-H. That's saving faith. When you get to that point, when you're at the end of the road and you put your hands up and say, forsake, supernaturally, the Lord infuses you with the faith of Jesus Christ, the same faith that kept Jesus on that cross. You know, it wasn't the nails, folks. I say this all the time. Jesus could have called a legion of angels down from heaven. And you know what one angel did to the Assyrian army? One wiped out 188 or 186,000 Assyrian soldiers. Imagine what a legion of angels could have done on Mount Calvary that day. Yet Jesus stayed faithful to the plan forged before the foundation of the earth, which he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit put together before we were even here on earth. He knew you, and he knew that you need this plan. So it's a choice that happens to us in this process of sanctification when we allow this act of free will to manifest in us as believers. We surrender to the Lord with free will. And then he comes into us and he assures sanity. He renews our mind. And unless we do this, we're worthless to the kingdom in this war, in this battle for our mind. So it's crucial for the believer's sanity that you keep that helmet of salvation on and you guard your mind. You have to be saved. Okay? And then you have to get the right mind, the mind of Christ, for the first time in your life. And then you'll share in the wisdom and power of God. Now, there was a story in Matthew chapter 5 about the demoniac. Do you remember that one? So Jesus saved him. And then later on, either in chapter 5 or 6 of Matthew, we find him seated beside Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And by the way, what was he doing as he sat beside the Lord? Listening to the word. So a person without the Lord Jesus Christ actually has a form of mild mental insanity. Yeah, that's the case, folks, because they don't have the mind of Christ that God made you and me to partake in. That's what Adam had. That's what Adam lost. When Adam sinned, people say, well, that Bible's not right because it says, if you eat of the fruit of this tree, you shall surely die. And look, Adam lived for hundreds of years. Well, yes, he lived in the body for hundreds of years. But his mind started to degrade because the lamp, God's lamp, his spirit, was extinguished. And now his mind was in darkness, no longer communing with the Lord, no more direction, no more partaking in the wisdom and power of God. Call you and me, Bible-believing Christians, insane. The Department of Homeland Security has evangelical Christians listed as potential domestic terrorists. Folks, I'm telling you, the world's been turned upside down in this Luciferian drive toward the New World Order. This Luciferian doctrine is out of control. This is literally an unconventional covert war, and the popular culture embraces more and more of these Luciferian lies, and they reject more and more the biblical truth. What happens is we get this separation from the wisdom and power of God and the abject reality, and we get into this Disney World way of thinking, and right becomes wrong, and wrong becomes right, and black is white, and white is black, and like Isaiah says, the world is turned upside down. And then we're going to start to see the persecution of Christians before our very eyes, right here in the United States. Mark my words on this, folks. So remember to put on your helmet of salvation. That's our sanity, and it covers our mind. It protects our minds. When we do so, we're prepared for battle. Now, I've talked about the adversary and his strategies in the past. He's strong, he's sinister, and folks, he's spiritual. So when you hear these people talking about ascension, and I've mentioned this on past shows, be careful, because Satan, also known as Lucifer, is spiritual. And he uses his strategy and his strength to lure you into false spiritual things. So Paul says to put on the belt of truth. That's your integrity. That's my integrity. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. That's our purity. He says to put on the shoes of peace. That's our tranquility. He says to put on the shield of faith. That's your certainty in mind. And then to put on our head this helmet of salvation, our sanity, so that we can continue to think in the midst of all this craziness with the mind of Christ. And then, and only then, folks, are we ready to do battle in this covert, unconventional war that's being waged on we, the people, by the swamp, also known as the deep state and the Communist Party. Folks, I watched the Green Lantern the other night, and they had the Council of Nine on there. You know, the nine people that meet with Lucifer, you know, they were the creators, they're the ancients, the immortals. They're the ones who created the universe. So they even get this stinking thinking into these popular movies and TV shows. But when you look at a fully equipped, fully armed Christian, and you take a look at each and every one of this armor, and you think about it, they actually represent Jesus. So when we put on the full armor of God, we're actually putting on Jesus each and every day. And only when we do that are we literally ready for battle. So every morning when I get up, I thank the Lord, I praise the Lord, and then I dress myself with this armor. Now, nearly 20, maybe 30 years ago, my dear friend and brother in Christ, Bill Story, one of those three men who introduced me to the gospel at PPG, he taught me this valuable lesson. He was my mentor, and I want to share it with you. So each and every day, I put on that armor. I ask myself, do I have the belt of truth on? Do I have the breastplate of righteousness on? Are my shoes shod with the gospel of peace? I have the shield of faith in my one hand and the helmet of salvation on my head and the sword of the Spirit in my other. And if he answers no, I double back and I correct whatever breach may be in my armor before it's too late. So each morning I call out each piece of this armor and I put it on with a prayer. Because when you're doing that, you're simply clothing yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ is. As Lord, he gives us direction. He tells us not to do this, but do that. And not because he's the cosmic killjoy, folks. No, he isn't. But he does it because he's saying, I don't want you doing that or you're going to get hurt. And I want you to do that because if you do, you'll be blessed. So that's the Lord. So when we clothe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord gives us direction. And then Jesus, he's there to lead us unto salvation. He's our friend, our advocate, always interceding on our behalf. And he's there for you in the darkest of times. He's always there. He's the way maker, the miracle worker, you know, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. He's Jesus. And then as Christ, he's our Messiah. He's showing us how to have dominion here on earth until he returns. So be sure that each and every morning you put on the full armor of God. You clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, folks, you're going to be ready to wage war against these lies and everything else. Now, next week, what I'd like to do, folks, is get into this teaching that St. Paul had. And so we're just going to continue because there's a ton of content here. And I have quite a few notes on this, but I just want to walk you through the outline real fast before we wrap this up for this week. So there's a few truths here in this passage out of 2 Corinthians. It talks about the battle for our minds, and it refers to citadels and all that. We're going to learn some truths, okay? The first truth is that there's a war for our mind. Then the second truth is that weakness in our flesh, and you have to be careful that you don't try to fight this war in the flesh, okay? And then the third truth are that there are specific spiritual weapons for our fight. And so I hope you tune in next week to learn about this war, this weakness, and these weapons. And next week we'll talk about the war, the weapons, and the weakness. War, the weapons, and our weakness in the battle for our minds. So folks, go out this week and remember that our God is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and the light in the darkness. And as you do that, remember the words of Winston Churchill and what he said. You remember what he said, folks? He said, in the midst of these battles, never give in.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in. Except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember to clothe yourselves in Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, our waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, and light in the darkness. Folks, I love you all, so let's lift our hands up and worship our God, Jesus Christ.